shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We go places other talk shows wish they could, so they just don't, you know. They don't, and they hope someday the industry doesn't catch up to them. They hope someday Phil doesn't catch up to them, because if it does, if I do, man, you did, Red. You did. Anyway, welcome back to our program every night until 1 o'clock and 4 a.m. We do it to it, baby. And a reminder, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. So you can watch live streaming video of the show, as well as access all of our archives, as well as get our daily podcast, as well as get our news feed, as well as get access to the comments section. You can also listen to and watch our video rants, Ted Bell's blog, Bobby Dooley's blog. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. There's a lot of news, and some of it's really, really heavy, and some of it's really, really funny, and some of it is just sort of the same old, same old. We have a very bad economy. There are, there's no end of people blaming whoever for it. We have evidenced, this generation at least, has evidenced an inability to get down to brass tacks and fix things. We do know how to point the finger and say, that guy did it. We don't know what we're talking about. We got our heads so far up our asses, man. We got to open our mouths to see where we're going. All we know is how to say, that guy there did it. And as we pointed out in the show before, it's like people think we weren't around 4 years ago. Like 2008 is, it might as well be 1,000 years ago. I was around. I remember. It's all Bush's fault. If we get Obama in there, everything's going to be great. And there's a lot of people who may be conservative nodding their heads and saying, you tell them, Phil. Well, guess what, Ace? Conservatives are saying the same damn thing now, man. We get our guy in there. You watch what happens. I'll tell you what's wrong with the country. It's got nothing to do with political ideology. We have got a populace that is unaware of the lessons of the past, unaware of what history is really made of. It ain't made of conservatives and liberals. It's made of good ideas and bad ideas. Now, since 1740, the Marlboro Tavern has been a fixture in the small southeast town, this small town southeast of Hartford. I said southeast town, it wouldn't be a southeast town. In this small town southeast of Hartford, establishment, which is operated off and on as a tavern and restaurant, has been a host to presidents and even the French army during the Revolutionary War. Get a load of that. But last Saturday will be the tavern's last day until a new owner is found. Jim Bradley took over the restaurant in 1985 with three friends. The building had been vacant since the previous owner closed the place in 1979. After a rough start, the whole thing took off, Bradley said. For nearly two decades, the Marlboro Tavern prospered near the center of town off Route 2. What's the name of this town?
What?
It says this small town southeast of Hartford. What's the name of the town?
Marlboro.
Well, it doesn't say. It just says the name of the town is the name of the tavern is Marlboro. Anyway, it prospered near the center of town off of Route 2. When gas prices spiked several summers ago, business took a big hit. It fell right off a cliff. It went down from June 2008 to July 2008. Well, it's going to happen, brother. He and a co-owner put money into the business to keep it afloat for the last 3 years, but with business down nearly a third, it became too much. Bradley said losing food after Tropical Storm Irene disrupted his losing food after Tropical Storm Irene. What does that mean?
I don't know. Maybe some of the supply got wet.
Anyway, Bradley says after losing food after Tropical Storm Irene disrupted his cash flow too much that he needed to shut the tavern's doors. Emotionally, it takes a toll after a while when you realize you've been swimming against the tide, Bradley said. Customers were surprised to hear about the landmark closing. Many assumed that the tavern would be in Marlboro forever. It is Marlboro.
Probably need a cigarette after that?
The what?
Did they name the cigarette after that town?
No, they didn't name the cigarette after that town. It's spelled differently anyway. I don't know what the hell they named the cigarette after. I don't even know what a Marlboro is. Bud, why don't you look it up?
I think it's like a Marlboro is like a Duke or something, like the Marlboro of the Marlboro of Kent. Yeah, the Marlboro of Kent.
The Marlboro of Kent.
Yeah, I think it's like a instead of a prince, if you say that man that live in that castle there is a Marlboro. Yeah, he's the Marlboro of Kent.
All right, get the Marlboro of Kent, okay? Very funny.
What?
You don't know that that's a cigarette, too?
I didn't know that.
Marlboro and Kent are two cigarettes. All right. This is one of the places we come all the time, and I can't believe it's not going to be here anymore, said Karen Puskapustavustavuch, some kind of a Polish name. I'm sorry I can't pronounce it, ma'am, but I'm sure it's been in your family for a long time. So, this is where you used to go, huh, Karen? Well, guess what? You didn't go there enough.
No kidding.
Who met her husband at the tavern years ago. You met your husband at the Marlboro Tavern. It's been there since 1740. And you go there all the time. I say you get your friends together and start going there a hell of a lot more, man. Bradley says he's not sure what he's going to do yet after Saturday. I'll just join the 20 or 30 million other Americans in the same boat, he said. Oh, quit your crying. Why is it I don't like this guy?
What?
I don't know. I don't like anybody making excuses like this. A place that old, 1740s, they better not, you think they'll bulldoze it?
No, they ain't going to let them bulldoze it.
Why don't you just turn it over to the county and turn it into a historic landmark?
Yeah, but then you can't use it for certain stuff.
Well, I think that there are, yeah, you're absolutely right, Robert. There are certain rules and regulations governing any building that has been so designated. So you may own, for instance, a national landmark, I believe. I know that you can own something that's designated a landmark. There are people that own farms or plantations. Excuse me for bringing that word up. It's an ugly word, but nonetheless, there are, and some have been designated national landmarks, but you can't do certain things.
Like what?
Well, you can't tear down a part of the building. Any kind of improvement, any kind of structural change, I think you have to move heaven and earth to have that done. Now, you can certainly refurbish. You can certainly upgrade or update, not update, but you can refurbish and restore is what the word that I'm looking for, so that if some of the materials are falling apart and so forth, you can fix it. But you can't change substantially the design. I don't think you can use materials that are not approved. There's certain materials that were used back in the day, and they still want to use them.
What about slave labor?
Yeah, slave labor. In other words, if it was built with slaves, then you got to keep doing that.
Really?
I'm kidding.
You think I'm kidding, man?
This fine old building was built by slaves. We're going to have to bring some slaves in.
What do you think, Robert? Shut up, man.
Well, you brought it up, man. You're making a joke out of it.
Yeah, I know. I don't thought like him tell I'm one of the slaves. I got to be a slave.
What are you going to do? Give me a slave owner?
Maybe.
Anyway, the Marlboro Tavern will remain open through dinner on Saturday, and then they will hold an auction to sell off antiques, bar, and restaurant supplies on Tuesday. Boy, I hate to hear about that. But I just hope the building stays there, you know. I understand that times are tough. Businesses are really, are getting hit hard. And it must be particularly tough for restaurant owners. You know that in America, and this is probably a statistic that people have heard many, many times. Now, I don't know if this is an updated figure, but the number that I heard, most restaurants fold, get a load of this, most restaurants fold in the United States within the first 6 months.
I believe it, man, because a lot of them, the food tastes bad. Well, why do you think they fold, man? Of course the food tastes bad.
Well, I mean, that's not necessarily it. There's just a million factors. There are a million factors that govern the success of a restaurant. And obviously the menu is one of them. But also, how do you get people in the door? I mean, people may be very, very comfortable with the place that they went to. They may give you a try. But if it isn't really a sea change in their thinking... And it's a funny thing that could put people off about a restaurant. The least little thing, the smell. And I've got the nose of death, man.
Yeah, I know. You smell everything.
I'm telling you, I don't know why. But when the good Lord put me together, man, he gave me a nose. Jack, I smell everything. And I mean, I smell it from 50 feet.
You don't tell me about that Taco Bell.
Well, I really shouldn't say.
Go ahead. It's a good story.
Well, I don't know. Well, okay, I will. Let me just say it was a very famous fast food restaurant. This is just an example. I mean, I can give you a million different examples of how I've smelled electrical fires before anybody else has. I've smelled them 5 minutes before anybody else has. I can smell if there is plastic burning. Some people may not notice it. But if I walk into a restaurant and I smell anything other than good, warm food, I'm a man, I can't take it. Like if I smell cleaning utensils. You know what I mean?
Well, like what? I mean, at least they're keeping it clean.
Yeah, maybe they just clean the toilet.
Well, that's great. That's what I want to know when I go in a restaurant. Did you just clean the toilet? I don't want to be sitting anywhere near the toilet, bud. You understand?
Yeah, I know, but I mean, why would that put you off?
I'm going into a restaurant to eat, man. I ain't going in there to guzzle the Lysol. So, and that's why if I go in a restaurant, I can't sit near the head. I'm not going to sit in any table or any booth that's anywhere near the door to the John. I see a lot of people like, oh, I'm fine. I can sit right there. That's good, you know? Me? No way, man. I can smell that damn thing. So anyway, I walked into a fast food joint with the kids once when they were very small, their favorite fast food place in the world. They love this place. And they said, can we please go? Can we please go? And I said, sure, okay. And it was a very famous fast food place. And it was out in Westlake Village, which is a very upscale Los Angeles suburb. And I say that to say what? I say that to say, if they are servicing a moneyed clientele or an upper middle class clientele, I'm sure Phil was thinking, you know, it's got to be a really first rate run place. Well, as soon as we hit the door, man, I took a deep breath and it was like they had diapers or something, you know?
Loaded diapers?
Yeah, were they loaded up?
Were they loaded up diaper? Yeah, it smelled like loaded diapers.
Man!
It did. It stunk. It stunk. And there was a line of people. And my kids looked at me like, well, what's wrong? I said, we got to leave. We have to leave. I'm not going to let you eat here. And they're like, what are you talking about? I said, it stinks in this place. It stinks. It freaking stinks. And it's not my imagination either, because there are other people who have equally sensitive noses. And I will look at, for instance, Catherine, my stepdaughter, is the same way. And she will look at me and I'll look at her and, I know what you're talking about. It stinks, man. You'll meet people occasionally. Like we were in I won't say a very famous coffee place.
Starbucks. Why don't you shut up, man?
I'm just guessing.
We're in a very famous coffee place. And I got a cup of coffee and it was my favorite. It was a latte and I took a sniff and it was like, it smelled like rotten eggs. And I said, Ben, there's something wrong with this coffee. Nobody could test it. And this lady standing next to me, she says, let me smell it. I got a good nose. I said, go ahead. She took a whiff. She goes, you know what that is? I said, what? She said, if they don't clean that the milk out of the bottom of that, when they make those lattes, you know?
Yeah.
If they don't clean all that milk out of there, the milk goes bad. And so you have this thin layer of bad milk in the bottom of that latte mixer, whatever the hell. She says, that's what you got here, man. I said, so you smell that? She goes, yeah. I said, would you like to have it? She goes, don't mind if I do.
You mean she took it?
No, she didn't. I'm kidding. All right. So that's the story of things old, taverns and milk. Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, coming back, more news. Obama prepares to revamp No Child Left Behind. Oh, that's really sexy, man. I don't want to read that. There was an execution yesterday in Georgia. There was one in Texas we'll tell you about. And that one, I didn't cry any tears over Troy Davis. Excuse me for saying that, but I didn't. And I sure as hell didn't cry any tears over this garbage in Texas. This guy that dragged James Byrd to his death so many years ago, 1998, you remember that? Well, that guy got smoked yesterday. We'll talk about it when we come back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And this is a story this is a serious story, but it needs to be reported. A white supremacist gang member was executed on Wednesday evening for the infamous dragging death slaying of a black man, James Byrd Jr. And I don't think anybody has forgotten this story. This man was 49 years of age. He was chained to the back of a pickup truck and pulled whip-like to his death along a bumpy asphalt road in one of the most grisly hate crime murders in recent Texas history. Lawrence Russell Brewer was asked if he had any final words, to which he replied, no, I have no final statement. There was a tear that hung on the edge of his right eye. He was pronounced dead at 6:21, 10 minutes after the lethal drugs began flowing into his arms, both covered with intricate black tattoos. Brewer's parents and two of Byrd's sisters were in attendance. Besides Brewer, John William King, now age 36, also was convicted of capital murder and sent to death row for Byrd's death, which shocked the nation for its brutality. King's conviction and death sentence remain under appeal. A third man, Sean Berry, received a life prison term. Said the retired sheriff who first investigated the horrific scene, Billy Rolls, one down and one to go. He says that's kind of cruel, but that's reality. Well, you know what, Sheriff? I understand. Byrd's sister, Clara Taylor, said someone from her brother's family needed to be present to watch Brewer die, so she was among witnesses in the death chamber. She said he had choices, referring to Brewer. He made the wrong choices. While the lethal made the wrong choice. You want to know why he made the wrong choices? Because the guy's not human. He's an anti-human, in my opinion. But that's just, you know, that's just one big mouth on the radio. I mean, I think we simplify some of these things, and they are simple, but they're not simple the way we think they're simple. They're not, well, you had choices. No, a guy like that was never going to make the right choices as far as we're concerned. He was only going to make the right choices as far as he was concerned. And those right choices, as far as he was concerned, had nothing whatsoever to do with the well-being of other people. He made the wrong choices, said the sister of Mr. Byrd, Clara Taylor. While the lethal injection wouldn't compare to the horrible death her brother endured, she said, quote, knowing you're going to be executed, that's got to be a sobering thought. Now, to whoever it was on Twitter that said to me that Mr. Byrd's family did not want to see this execution go forward, to these anti-death penalty people on Twitter that were telling me, you know, about how even James Byrd's family is crying a tear. You know, why don't you, you know, I'm getting sick and tired of you people misreporting and lying. I mean, I understand that you've got a problem with liars. I do, too. But you're not going to solve the problem by lying yourselves. Get yourselves educated. Maybe there's some people in Mr. Byrd's family that didn't want to see this execution go forward. Here was one member of his family that didn't mind at all. One other thing, by the way. The problem that I encountered with the Troy Davis controversy yesterday is people were discussing it. And it's really kind of a gutless position some people take. I'm against the execution of Troy Davis. All right, now hold on. Why? Why would they be against it, bud?
They think he's innocent.
Yeah, they think he's innocent, but they also don't like the death penalty.
He asked me, he didn't ask you.
I'm asking both of you guys, okay?
They think he's innocent, but they don't like the death penalty.
Yeah. Now, you see, to me, that's you know, really covering your ass, isn't it? Boy, they think he's innocent, but they also don't like the death penalty. Well, let me ask you a question, Mr. He's innocent, but I also don't like the death penalty. If you don't like the death penalty, then it doesn't make any difference whether he's innocent or guilty, does it? I mean, sure, it makes a difference in terms of whether the guy is going to remain in prison or whether the guy is going to get sprung. But I maintain that that's a pretty safe distance to stand at. I don't like the death penalty, and oh yeah, also I think he's innocent, and let's see, what else? Think of any other reasons that, you know, you can really cover your ass with? There was a problem yesterday, is what I'm saying, and the problem was this. The people that were opposed to the execution of Troy Davis, you didn't know who the hell it was you were talking to. Are you talking to people that don't like the death penalty? Are you talking to people that don't like that think he's innocent? Are you talking to people that don't like either thing? Are you talking to people that are knee-jerk? They don't want him to be executed even though they don't know their ass from a hole in the ground about the case? The first thing they heard of it was yesterday morning when they logged onto Twitter and they saw all of their favorite celebrities were against it, so they decided to weigh in stupidly. Are they against the death penalty because moral grounds? Are they against the death penalty because, you know, innocent people have been killed? I mean, what do people really know? Well, the answer to that question is not much. Now, Troy Davis, I don't know anything about the case. And so I'm not going to comment as to whether he was guilty or innocent. I will tell you that this much I do know. This much I do know. And I don't give a damn what anybody, some jive-ass weekend lawyer, tells you. I don't give a sweet Jesus if somebody came forward and said they recanted this and recanted. You know, people are picking and choosing what it is they want to use. Now, a court of appeals looked at this. The Supreme Court of the United States looked at this. This was not just something that happened yesterday. This has been a long time in coming. As late as yesterday afternoon, there was a halt to the execution temporarily for the Supreme Court to once again review some things. This man got the benefit of all of this chicken crap that some of these people are talking about. They recanted, and two of the witnesses said that this guy wasn't there, and another guy confessed. They heard it all, man. Far, far smarter people than us. In an atmosphere of, you know, full disclosure. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, and so that's pretty sick, man. That's just a funky story, you know?
Man.
I mean, I remember that happening. That was, you know, what are you going to do with people like that? Well, the best thing to do with somebody like that is do what you did. I'm sorry, I don't have that in my heart and in my soul. I don't have it. It's my way of thinking is this. There's certain people... And I think it's the worst thing to tell people. I think it's the worst thing to tell some young people that there are people that anybody can be rehabilitated. I don't believe that.
Yeah, but why not, man? That's not very Christian.
No, you're right. It's not very Christian. You're right. But it's not very safe to say, hey, you know, everybody has got the spark of goodness, and if we just have... You know, you're going to wind up getting your throat cut. There are people in this world that are predatory. There are people in this world that will cut you open like a Christmas turkey without any conscience. You know, and those people, you know, we talk about the psychopaths like the Gary Ridgways. Man, there's cats, all kinds of people like that. And you want to take your chances of letting a guy back out on the street like that? Or remember that Edward Kemper guy, Bud, that you think is so funny?
Yeah, that guy's pretty funny only on account of what he had ahead.
Yeah, that's real funny.
That's the guy that had a head in the trunk?
Yeah, he had a head in the trunk of his car. He had two heads in the trunk of his car when he went into the psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist gave him a clean bill of health. And he said, I laughed. I laughed when I walked out of that psychiatrist's office. I knew I had the remains of two human beings in the trunk of my car. Psychopaths get their kicks talking to psychiatrists. They get their laughs talking to psychologists. That's the best part of their day. They learn more cons. They learn more lines of bullcrap. They learn more ways to horse crap people than you can shake a stick at, man. They go to school on psychiatrists and psychologists.
They just pretend like they're healthy.
Yo, yeah, they tell them anything they want to hear. Oh, yeah, doc, sure, you bet. Oh, I've learned my ways. I mean, this is, how many times are we going to talk about it on this show, for God's sake? How many times are we going to talk about this? We talk about it all the time. And when you find out what's truly the nature of this person, it's too late. It's far, far too late. Far, far too late. So... No, I wish that I could be one of, I'm not one of those people, and as the result, the reason why I believe in the death penalty is because animals like that are beyond rehabilitation, and I don't know where you're going to put them. I don't know what you want, what you know, make ourselves feel better that we keep an animal like that caged up. All right. Some people will try to assuage the arguments of others. People that are anti-death penalty, for instance, will say this. They'll say, don't you think it's far worse to be kept in prison for the rest of your life than to be put to death? To which I respond, well, now are you endorsing torture? What are you talking about? No, I'm just saying. Now, what are you saying? I thought you said the death penalty is inhumane. Yes. Okay, well, then why would you want to give the guy something that's worse? Isn't that inhumane? Isn't that cruel and unusual? No, I don't think it's cruel and unusual. I think it's far more painful. Oh, so you're getting your laughs making this guy's life more hellish. Don't tell me about your moral misgivings when you're saying, I think that life in prison is far worse and he suffers far more, unless, of course, you're just trying to convince me. And I ain't convinced of that. Not for a psychopath. You got to understand something. A psychopath, every day that he's alive is a win. Every day that he's alive and has a chance to shuck and jive one more person, to bullcrap one more person, to get over on one more person, that's a win for him. You end that guy's life, you've taken the control of his life away from him completely. That's the worst thing that happens to a psychopath, is to have control removed from him or her. They don't like that. They go crazy if they have no power or control over the events in their lives. As long as they're alive, as long as they're in the proximity of other human beings, they got a chance to pull some bullcrap somewhere, somehow. They can bullcrap a guard, another prisoner, a prison doctor. Oh, yeah, they work in the library, and they...
They become like a chaplain's assistant.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be a chaplain's assistant. They'll look just... I mean, they'll stand up there like they're taking part in a passion play. So all you're doing is keeping those guys alive, and all you're doing is giving them an opportunity to cause more problems, and they'll cause those problems in prison. Now, you can put them in the Supermax, which, of course, is this high-intensity, high-security lockdown prison that we've got in Colorado. That's fine. But at what point, I would ask these people, at what point is it inhumane to keep these people in a cage like that and less inhumane to just knock them out of their misery, man? Just take them out of this world. We stick them in the Supermax where they got no communication with anybody. It's like Hannibal Lecter or something. And we feel better about ourselves, you know. Well, meanwhile, that guy's alive.
Yeah, well, Hannibal Lecter, man, he bit the tongue out of that one nurse.
Yeah, well, that's bull crap, you know.
What do you mean?
That never happened. It's fiction.
Yeah, but still, you think one of those guys would bite the tongue out of a nurse or something?
Yeah, a dislocated jaw, some stuff like that.
Oh, will you quit reading fairy tales, okay? All right, here's another piece of glad tidings. A 91-year-old Pennsylvania man is cited for throwing urine on the sidewalk to keep neighborhood kids off his property. All right. Albert Einzig says he's never had problems this bad with teenagers in his neighborhood. He also says he just wants those teens to leave him alone. You know how long I've lived in this house? 63 years. He said 63 years. Until recently, Einzig was happy in his East Clark Avenue home. But lately, he says he's been kept up all night by neighborhood teens hanging out on his porch. He put up sheets to stop them from peering in, but still they antagonize him. They bang on the door, they bang, bang to get me out of bed. He says the handicap sign in front of his home is what's behind the taunting, so that's why, at his wit's end, the 91-year-old dumped a bucket with urine in it on his porch and down to the sidewalk. Someone on the street, out of all the people, hollered, "That's a piss bucket!" Then that word got spread around to all the people out there, Einzig commented. Neighbors called police and Einzig was cited, but he says it was all blown out of proportion. See, there are two sides to a story. They've been at me so bad, I don't know which way I'm going, Einzig complained. He admits he deserves the citation, but says he didn't mean to hurt anyone. All he wanted was some peace and quiet, which he still doesn't think he'll get. They'll be at it tonight. They'll be beating it, Einzig muttered. Despite all of this, Einzig says he has no plans to move. He's not sure yet how much the citation will cost. All right, what's wrong with that story?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
What's wrong with that story? What aren't we hearing?
Well,
I don't know. What do you mean?
What do I mean? Why didn't he call the cops?
Well, I mean, what are you going to call the cops about?
Trespassing, disturbing the peace, vandalism, bugging you. Are the cops in this town of York, Pennsylvania so brain dead that they don't hear the cries of a 91-year-old senior citizen who is trying to get some sleep and he's got kids? If this in fact is true. See, this is my point.
You think this old guy's lying?
I don't know what this old guy's up to. I don't know what he's talking about. Wouldn't you call the cops and say, "Hey, these kids are on my property"? All right, now I'm not saying that necessarily gets it done the first time, but if you call the cops enough times out on these kids finally wind up getting cited, they wind up getting taken in, the parents wind up having to go down there and explain themselves, and pretty soon it turns into a real big thing.
Maybe he's afraid, because he's afraid that that's what's going to happen.
It could be. Yeah, that could be. He doesn't want to antagonize his neighbors throwing pee on the sidewalk. I mean, that could very well be, but... You know, at some point, you got to reach out and you got to find the long arm of the law there and see if they can't help you. It's my opinion. And then finally, Spokane police issued a warrant for... Oh, God. Spokane police issued a warrant for an aborted fetus at a Planned Parenthood clinic in a child rape case. This is in Spokane. They served Planned Parenthood with a search warrant, hoping to strengthen a child rape case with DNA evidence from an aborted fetus. According to the warrant, the detectives are trying to prove paternity by pulling DNA from the aborted fetal tissue. They want to match the DNA to alleged rape suspect. Police records say a 15-year-old girl became pregnant by a 21-year-old man in early August. When her parents learned about the pregnancy from her school at the end of that month, they took the teenager to Planned Parenthood. The pregnancy test was positive. The family and teenager decided to terminate the pregnancy. Meanwhile, detectives applied for a warrant issued because, according to documents, it was possible to obtain DNA from the fetal tissue. According to detectives, if they put the DNA, if they pull the DNA, they can match it to prove paternity and prove the allegation of third-degree rape of a child. DNA testing can take several weeks and will likely be done with the help of the medical examiner's office in the Washington State Crime Lab. It's unclear who initially reported the alleged rape, but both schools and Planned Parenthood have to follow reporting laws. The suspect in the case has not yet been charged. So this is a 21-year-old guy, a 15-year-old girl. It could have been consensual, but because she's underage, it's third degree, you know, it's the third degree rape of a child. I mean, it's a brutal freaking crime, and they're going to use DNA from the aborted fetus. How long are you supposed to keep that tissue around? I don't know. And then the other question that I have is, why am I reading this?
Get out of here.
Get out of here with that freaking story. Get out of here with these stories, will you already? What is that, a story about Planned Parenthood? Is that a story? Is this another one of these CNS stories? If I get one more story from CNS.
I don't think it is, man. It's from KREM.
Yeah, it's from Cream Radio.
Cream Radio. What is it, KREM? I don't like any of these news stories where there's a little agenda going on. Phil. Let's take a break. You know, there's a couple of things from that story that really bother me. Number one, if you guys are against abortion, well, in that case, the abortion was a good thing because they found out who raped the little girl. At least they can, using the DNA.
Yeah, well, they can get that from the DNA of a living kid.
All right, well, that just blew that theory. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, the way they're talking about this Obama and the way the, by the way, the liberals talked about Bush, I'm holding both of these dogs, these progressives and these conservatives, I'm going to hold them to the same damn standard. And if the Republicans win the election in 2012, you guys better get this recession out of the way in 6 months. That's right. Just like you jackass progressives, you guys had all the answers. You spent the first 2 years blaming Bush for everything. You guys haven't had any answers, man. You never had an answer. Well, guess what? Now comes the Republicans, the conservatives. Now comes their turn. Now I'm going to hold you guys to the same standard. You better have your pull your heads out of your asses and get something going real fast. And I don't want to hear any, I don't want to hear the O word, man, just like I didn't want to hear the B word before.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't just tell people I got to have it in 6 months.
Oh, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Because that's what these clowns were asking for after Obama got elected. You know, and Obama and the media, holy God. You know, I was never a guy that bought into this bash the media game that became so popular among so many of my so-called colleagues. But I got to tell you, you guys with Obama in the FDR hat, you know, with the cigarette holder and the whole, I mean, are you kidding me or something? I know that that was the, what you guys are basically saying, that's the perception of the American people. I get that. But remember that as our good friend David Letterman said, perception being everything, make sure you know what the perception is. If the American people perceive Obama as a savior, that's one thing. If you put it on the cover of him looking like FDR, that makes you guys look like you expect him to do that. Nobody's looking at, let me get a hippie to something. Nobody's looking at Time magazine as some art piece. Well, you see, you have to interpret our cover. Nobody's going to interpret anything, man. Stick it on the cover, whatever the news is, and let us make up our minds. I don't want to have to sit there and interpret you guys. I got too much that I got to interpret day in and day out. To have to interpret your rotten magazine, which hasn't been good in years, and you know it. So I'm telling you right now, the time is a-coming, baby. I'm going to have, I don't know, we got to have some kind of a block party. So I'm going to give it a six-month countdown, man, as soon as you guys get in. I wish you luck. I'm telling you, just like I wish President Obama luck. See, I don't know about anybody. I'm just interested in the country doing well. I'm just interested in everybody having a good job, making sure that the economy's motoring along. I don't wish ill on anyone. I want people's ideas to work. Now, there may be some ideas that I don't particularly agree with. However, there are some ideas that at certain times may be workable and at other times are not workable. And sometimes I may agree with this idea and sometimes I may not. Call me, what is that? Does that mean I'm a waffling guy? No, that means that I don't always go 65. Some days I go 25 and 30, depending upon the speed limit. This game that we're playing, this liberal conservative game, it's going to sink this country sure as God made green apples unless people get serious, man. It's going to sink this country. Sure, I mean, as sure as hell, and that's the game everybody's playing. They think they got all kinds of time. I mean, of course we have all kinds of time. But the fact is, if you want this to be a good, long, deep depression with continuous double-digit unemployment, sweeping away the every vestige of a traditional political thing, maybe that's what we need. Personally, if you want my opinion, I think we need that.
You gotta be kidding me. What people be starving for years.
I think this country needs a good, long, deep depression to sweep away the last vestiges of this antiquated political think that we have in this country. Everybody thinks they're right. Everybody thinks they have the... I think we need a nice, long, deep, devastating depression so that the Republican and Democratic parties are gutted. And there isn't anything left of you jackasses. And maybe we got some other good ideas that come down the pike instead of having to be held hostage by you jive-ass suits. I'm telling you, man. And this Boehner. You know, the only reason I'm bringing up Boehner, he's the Speaker of the House. Here's a guy that thought he could really cozy up to the Tea Party. Guess what, Boehner? They think you're poison. They don't want you around any more than they want a case of cancer. So all of your sucking up did nothing. They see right through you. You ain't a Tea Party guy, man. You're a traditional Main Street Republican. That's what you is. And Tea Party people, that's not what they're about. They're into a radical economic solutions. Whether they are good or bad, they're into them. They're into cut taxes, cut taxes, cut taxes. Whether or not that's a good idea, in their mind, it's always a good idea. It's never a bad idea. Well, you'll come to find out. You'll learn. You go right ahead, man. You grab a hold of the power. You cut all the taxes. You do whatever you think is absolutely the best, most perfect thing. I guarantee you're going to have a wake-up call you've never seen before in your life. Guaranteed. Every bit as much as Obama and the wake-up call he got. Because you see, folks, the traditional solutions, whether it's the tax cutting of the Tea Party people, when they think they're revolutionary, there's nothing revolutionary about them at all. There's nothing revolutionary about that. Or the so-called jobs programs, liberals. All of this stuff is a thing of the 20th century. This stuff is going away.
But what do you think's going to come in its place? I mean, what other kind of thinking?
Well, I think we're going to find out that the best solution to any problem like this, any economic downturn, is the general productivity of the people. Now, I know that a lot of these people are going to say, yes, but giving them jobs, yes, but cutting taxes, that stimulate. There ain't nothing going to stimulate people that can't be stimulated. There ain't nothing going to stimulate people that can't be. You can cut all the taxes you want. But if people don't want to go out and take that money and start to build businesses back up, and I mean, we got a whole hell of a lot of that to do, friend, you ain't going to, believe me, and you're going to have a lot of problems from a lot of other people besides business people. So you just remember where you heard this, because I'm telling you right now, I might have been wrong about Giuliani and what's-her-face, Clinton, but I can't possibly be wrong about this.
Yeah, famous last words.
Maybe. Thank you. And look at that. We cued the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Man, it's beautiful.
Yeah, you're nuts.
Thank you. That's very eloquent, man.
What? You're nuts. You're nuts. Yeah, I just think you're nuts.
All right, so I'm nuts. World famous Phil Henry shows producer. I'm nuts. Don't I have a right to be nuts?
Yeah, well, you're dead wrong, man. You're not only nuts, you're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not only nuts, I'm wrong. Who was nuts and right?
Einstein.
Einstein. World famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft, Phil Henry, Fred Scotty, and Chris Johnson. And of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass, and we'll see you here, man. We got some good stuff coming up in the month of October. We will see you tonight on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.